Maitreya uvacha evam bruvanam purushartha bhajanam janardanam pranjalaya prachetasaha tadarshana dvasta tamorajomala Giragarnan gadgadaya suhrittamam Translation. The great sage Maitreya said, after the personality of Godhead spoke thus, the Prachetas began to offer him prayers. The Lord is the bestower of all success in life and is the supreme benefactor. He is also the supreme friend who takes away all the material conditions experienced by a devotee. In a faltering voice, due to ecstasy, the Prachetas began to offer prayers. They were purified by the presence of the Lord, who was before them face to face. The Lord is herein described as Purushartha Bhajanam, the bestower of the ultimate goal of life. Whatever success we want in life can be attained by the mercy of the Lord. Since the Prachetas had already attained the Lord's mercy, they were no longer subject to the contamination of the material modes. The material modes dissipated from them, just as the darkness of night immediately dissipates when the sun rises. Because the Lord appeared before them, naturally all the contaminations of the material qualities of Rajas and Tamas completely disappeared. Similarly, when an unalloyed devotee chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he is also purified of all material contamination because the name of the Lord and the Lord are identical. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Shrinvatam Swakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Hridhyantas Tohya Bhadrani Vidhunoti Suhritsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. The holy name of the Lord is the Lord himself. If one chants and hears, he becomes purified. Gradually all material contamination disappears. The Prachetas were already purified due to the Lord's presence before them, and they could offer the proper prayers with folded hands. In other words, as soon as devotees are engaged in devotional service, they become transcendental to all material contamination immediately, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sagunan Samatityaitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpasi. Sometimes the devotees are dissatisfied due to their not seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally. When the Prachetas saw the Supreme Lord personally present, their unhappiness vanished. Maitreya uvacha evam bruvanam purushartha bhajanam janardanam pranjalaya prachetasaha tadarshana dvasta tamorajo mala giragrinan gadgadaya suhritavam. So the Prachetas have the direct darshan of the Lord, by attaining which whatever traces of material contamination might have been in their heart is completely dissipated or destroyed. That doesn't happen to everyone who has darshan of the Lord. I was just thinking, you know, there are so many descriptions in the Bhagavatam of devotees having darshan of the Lord, but not everyone reacts in the same way. Dhruva Maharaj had the darshan of the Lord, and by doing so he changed from, it's the culmination of a process of him changing from a highly motivated materialist to a topmost devotee. He was highly materialistic. I mean, that's really most materialistic, to want a kingdom on the style that he wanted a kingdom. People think, I want to be a millionaire, a billionaire, trillion, now we hear the word trillions of dollars, billions are going out of fashion, trillions. But he wanted a lot more than that, extremely ambitious, very materialistic, but not demoniac. So he was able to accept Narada's advice. If Narada had told him to go and worship Bhadrakali, he might have done also. For the benefit of you who don't know what that means, the worship of Bhadrakali involves making animal sacrifices. Amma, amamma. Oh, that's Croatian, amma. Okay. So, well, we don't know because we can only speculate, but at least in his case, we can say, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. He was fortunate to get the association of Narada. Narada can deliver anyone, it seems, or any class of person, if there is any slight piety in them. He didn't attempt to deliver Kamsa or Hiranyakashipu. He went to the wife of Hiranyakashipu. He could have gone to Hiranyakashipu himself while he was involved. Well, he did, actually. He did, that story. Narada and Parvat Muni went to, when Hiranyakashipu was performing austerities, and they came in the form of birds and chanted Narayana, Narayana. He got so fed up, he left and gave up his austerities and went back to see his wife. And then he was thinking of Narayana at the time he impregnated her, and that's how Prahlad came to that womb. Otherwise, why would a great devotee go into the womb of a great demon? It's unusual, it's unexpected. But he didn't attempt to deliver Hiranyakashipu or Kamsa. They have their roles to play also. Demoniac roles. So Dhruva, it was the culmination of a process of purification by living in Mahavan forest, chanting a Vaishnav mantra, accepting purification, and concentrating extremely intensely on Narayana. So eventually he had the darshan of Narayana, and at that time he said, Swamin krita artosmi varangnaya che. I don't want anything. He went through his extreme austerity, which made the whole universe choke, for the sake of getting something. And when the Lord appeared, the Lord who he had been supplicating for the sake of getting a boon, when he appeared, he said, what do you want? I don't want anything. Now I have you, what more could I want? Then Daksha, he got the darshan of the Lord, but he remained materialistic and offensive-minded. So he may think, why does the Lord give his darshan to such a person? Well, we shouldn't disrespect Daksha, even if he disrespects Lord Shiva and Narad Muni, but he's still a great person. Srila Prabhupada named one of his disciples in Australia Durvasa Muni Das. He said, he's also a great personality. We can also ask for benedictions from him. Even though he did certain things, which in ninth canto of Bhagavatam, it's recorded how he was offensive to Ambarish Maharaj. That's forgiven. But there's some things in the Mahabharata which I don't think we should discuss. It's too painful to discuss. But we should offer him respect also. Srila Prabhupada said to offer respect even to Mayavadi sannyasis, even Mayavadi Krishna Aparadhi, the offenders to Krishna. But we should offer them respect for their sannyas, for their austerity, for their adherence to the Vedic way of life. So they may also be, in one sense, great personalities. They have... doesn't mean that everyone who is a great personality is a great devotee. So Daksha, he had the darshan of the Lord. The Lord doesn't usually give his darshan to materialistic. Yeah, but he may give to Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, and others. But he gave his darshan to Daksha, who got the benediction to have great sense gratification. But that even that sense gratification, it was dharmic. He had a duty to perform too. Someone has to do that too, to fill up the universe with living beings. So he was a prajapati, so he wanted blessings that he could produce many children. So that's also one of the functions, one of the important things to do in the universe. But he didn't become devotionally minded, even though he was performing activities of devotion. He was performing the activities of devotion, but without the spirit of devotion. And Dhruva Maharaj was also performing activities of devotion, but without the spirit of devotion. But he did have the blessings of Narad Muni. He had approached Narad Muni, whereas Daksha, he didn't have a very good opinion of Narad Muni. So it would be very difficult for him to get pure devotion because of that. Then Kardama, he's also a great devotee, because definitely he gave birth to or the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as his son. But even though he was a great sage, highly advanced, but when the Lord appeared to him, being supplicated by him, he admitted that I have some material desire. So how material it is, we don't know. He must have been a very great pure devotee. That desire was fulfilled by the Lord himself appearing in his womb. So we shouldn't think that he's a gross materialist. It may be that the desire appeared to him to be material, to have a son, but to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as your son suggests that he wasn't a... it was a long, long way away from these people who give birth to sons over a bottle of whiskey on Saturday night, to paraphrase the great philosopher John Lennon. So the Lord shows himself to people, they see them, but seeing Krishna, it's not something that can be explained by a scientific description. As far as I remember, I don't remember much, but a little bit from my biology classes at school, the impression hits the retina, gets turned upside down, and then it gets turned up the right way again, and then you see whatever you're seeing. Something like that. I'm sure you could explain it much better. All the optic nerves, and there's all that black stuff inside the eyeball. Maybe it's not black until you cut the eyeball open. Then it reacts with the oxygen in the atmosphere. Something like that. Anyway, seeing the Lord, he appears to be material to people with materialistic vision. But he's actually seen by the devotees. Just like there's that anecdote related in Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav of one professor or very educated person, elderly man, came to Gauriya Math, and he got a little chastisement from one of the devotees for his silly ideas, and from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and he, taking the role of an acharya, he didn't, someone superior in age or social status, the acharyas, they don't pay much attention to that. If they're speaking Harikatha, they don't, everyone has to bow before that, because that is most sacred. That transcends all social distinctions. So the professor, he was upset, and I was a great friend of your father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I used to come to him. He used to treat me with respect. He used to get sweets for me. And you're treating me like this. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you never saw Bhaktivinoda Thakur in your life. Said, what are you talking about? I used to visit him. You saw me also. Said, you never saw Bhaktivinoda Thakur in your life. They could see, they see some impression on the retina. And then again, our psychological function, everything that we perceive through any of the senses, we immediately classify it. So you see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Kedarnath Datta, respectable Babu of the Bhadralok of Bengal, very well, Western education, speaks English, writes English, very respected person in Calcutta. That's how he saw him. He didn't see Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He saw Kedarnath Datta, Babu. He didn't see Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He saw, but seeing doesn't... When we see Bhagavad Darshan, the vision of the Lord doesn't mean to see some picture. And process that through our materialistic, wrongly informed psychological apparatus. So seeing means hearing. You hear, understand who he is, then we can see. Otherwise, anyone, someone may see Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Maha Maha Bhagavat, elderly Bengali gentleman. They may think that's a very respectful thing to say about him, elderly Bengali gentleman. But it's a material designation. So that is offensive. Vaishnava jati buddhihi. To think that a Vaishnava is a member of a certain caste or material background is because a Vaishnava is saravopadivinir muktam tatparatvena nirmalam hushikena hushikesha sevanam bhakti ruchate. He's free of all material designations, situated on the spiritual platform, fully absorbed with all his senses in serving Krishna at the topmost level of devotion. So it might seem that a devotee is part of this material world because, for instance, Bhaktivinoda Thakur spoke Bengali, lived in Bengali, spoke Bengali. So you could say he's a Bengali. And no doubt he followed all the Bengali customs and mannerisms, like shaking your head like this to say yes, whereas in at least the part of the Western world I come from, it means no. So I mean, he probably followed all those things. I'm sure he didn't act in any different way from he wasn't a cultural oddity. But it would, because of that, it would be a great mistake to think that he is a product of the ethos and milieu in which he appeared. That he acts according to the culture that he appeared in to a large extent, that doesn't mean that he is a product of it, as we presume that we historians of art or whatever they waste their life in a somewhat more sophisticated manner than most people waste their life. They want to study some artist, they'll study all the different, what were the different ideas, and going in the ether at that time and see how he's influenced. And there's definitely some influence of Rembrandt in there. And someone that may say themselves, who's somewhat successful as a writer or a rock star or whatever, they may say, well, I owe a lot of debt to blah, blah, blah. He admits he's influenced by them. So the pure devotees, they may appear to be also influenced. But their influence is Krishna, Brahma, Narada, Vyasa. These are the actual influences. We should not make the mistake of ascribing material characteristics to them, even though it may appear like that. So the prachetas, they're also having the darshan of the Lord, and so they feel are very happy, and if there's any trace of any material contamination, that's completely washed away by their having his darshan, by seeing him directly. Very powerful impression is made there, because they're already, if one is performing sadhana, then one's already in contact with the Lord through that. By chanting his name is none different from him. By hearing about him, one is in his presence. Srila Prabhupada quotes here in the purport, Shunvatang Sokata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantasto Hyabhadrani Vidhunoti Suhrit Satam. By hearing about Krishna, in the same verse, Shrinvatam and Kirtanaha, Shravana Kirtana, to hear about him, to chant about him, that in itself is pious, and that cleanses the heart. But the vision of the Lord, it's of, is a very, that is, it's another way of, that the senses are fulfilled. And we see repeatedly in Shastra that the vision of the Lord has a very great impression. Narada also himself in his meditation saw the Lord, who then again vanished, so he could remember that Lord and chase out desire to see him again and again. Parikshit in the womb had the darshan of the Lord. So especially for those who are, it seems in all the cases that we've discussed, I've mentioned here, that persons who are in the stage of sadhana, it's a confirmation of their success, or almost success, that the Lord personally appears to them. Even in the case of Daksha, because he was performing sadhana, but not for the sake of loving Krishna, but for the sake of getting benediction from Krishna, for doing a work that is approved by Krishna, which dovetailed his sense-gratificatory spirit. He was a pious person, not impious. But that confirmed his, yes, now you are blessed. Now you go and do what you want to do. So, practically the whole universe is, not only humans, but non-humans also come from the daughters of Daksha. So he was blessed by the Lord. Not in the way that we would desire to be blessed. We are more fortunate, actually. He had direct darshan of the Lord, but we're put on the path by which we can avoid getting misled into material desires. Even someone may retain their material desires, even on having the darshan of the Supreme Lord. If there's no idea of pure devotional service, but even they have direct darshan of the Lord, and because they didn't hear, they never had contact with pure devotees, then even if they have direct darshan of the Lord, they can't appreciate him for who he is. So, you have some questions? You'd like to tell me those questions? You want to turn this on? Yeah.